was to create the best team, and player marketability and popularity were not considerations. 49ers running back Christian McCaffrey will grace the cover of Madden 25. Aaron Rodgers a no-show to Jets minicamp, as was Hassan Reddick.
Fox Sports update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, and new daily specials. And check out the great new golf shop. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, this is your Agribusiness Update. The USDA announced the next steps in addressing the complex competition issues in the ag markets and creating a fairer playing field for poultry growers and farmers. The proposal, called the Poultry Grower Payment Systems and Capital Improvement Systems, would address a range of abuses that have occurred in relation to grower ranking payment systems, or tournaments. This rule is the third in a suite of Packers and Stockyard Act rules. The International Grains Council released its grain market report that shows a reduction in the forecast for world total grains production. Wheat and coarse grains for 2023 and 24 are now at 2.297 billion metric tons, down 4 million metric tons month to month. The forecast for global grain trade in 2023-24 is up 8 million metric tons, driven by larger wheat and maize. And farmers' outlook improved in May as the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer Index rose to 108, a 9-point increase from April. The index for future expectations climbed 11 points to 117, and the current conditions index rose 6 points. The future expectations boost reflects farmers expecting conditions to improve, although it's clear that 2024's financial challenges are still a concern. A rise in crop prices from the April survey's date to mid-May played a role in boosting farmer sentiment.
Central Coast growers know just how much damage aphids can do to leafy veg, coal, and brassica crops. But Versus insecticide from BASF makes all visible aphids disappear thanks to a unique, single, and targeted mode of action. Let's get the aphids' response to this simple, effective solution. Taking calls now to hear from those unhappy aphids. Hello? Anyone? Making aphids disappear from leafy vegetable, coal, or brassica crops is easy with Versus insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
Get the equipment and trucks you need at Ritchie Brothers' next Sacramento sale on June 12th and 13th. This online auction features over 4,400 items to choose from, including a wide selection of heavy construction equipment and truck tractors. Don't miss Ritchie Brothers' Sacramento unreserved auction on June 12th and June 13th. Registration is free and financing is available. For more details, visit rbauction.com. Again, that's rbauction.com.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Jerry Willis, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are mixed in afternoon trading ahead of the release of May's Consumer Price Index report, which comes Wednesday morning, along with the Fed's latest interest rate policy decision. The central bank is widely expected to leave rates where they are at between 5.25% and 5.5%, and likely to lower the number of projected rate cuts this year to 1 or 2. Tech stocks are among the gainers today, boosting the tech-heavy NASDAQ, which is on track for another record close. Apple shares are jumping 6% and on track for its first record close of the year after the iPhone maker unveiled its long-awaited push into artificial intelligence at its annual developers conference. Shares of Shopify are popping 1% following an upgrade from JP Morgan. Analysts with the firm believe Shopify's distinct competitive advantages will continue to fuel industry-leading growth. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Success. It's discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. And it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management and investment banking firms in the industry. Stifel, it's where success meets success. Start your journey at stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday, and welcome back to Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. We have two terrific guests today. Our first is Shannon McAwitt, Executive Director of Hospice SLO County. We're going to talk about the role that hospice plays in the long-term care and extended care process, the social and emotional aspects of death, and how Hospice SLO County differs from Medicare, Medi-Cal, hospice care. Shannon, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
We're happy to have you on. And at the top of the hour, we have Mike Brown, Government Affairs Director of CoLab. He and I are going to do a deep dive into the SLO County's billion-dollar budget, first billion-dollar budget in history, the impact of state budget cutbacks on San Luis Obispo County when they happen, and other issues of importance to SLO County residents. You can call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Shannon, we spend a lot of time on this show talking about, you know, the continuum of care, the long-term care planning process, and it's really great to have you on to kind of unpack the role that that hospice plays in that whole continuum of care. But first, tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be the executive director of Hospice SLO County.
Yeah, so I actually joined Hospice SLO County about 6.5 years ago as the director of volunteer services. And so that was in January of 2018. And so I oversaw all of our in-home volunteer services. And so I'd been here for a little while. And then, of course, the pandemic hit in March 2020. And we really just really did a whole bunch of budget cuts because we had no idea what was going to happen. And our executive director at the time really looked at the budget and looked at the staff that was here. And she decided to essentially lay herself off for the greater good of the organization. And so on July 1, 2020, I became the executive director and also remained the volunteer services director to see us through the pandemic.
And you have a background in marketing, correct?
Is that... I do. I worked for Transitions Mental Health Association for 7 years as their community outreach manager, doing marketing, fundraising, volunteer management, really doing community education and connecting people.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And hospice, just found me at the right time. To kind of make that transition here.
Well, and it sounds like they've made a good choice. And it's interesting how much, education that folks like you, the Alzheimer's Association, they're constantly out there helping people with family and families in need of your services. So I want to thank you for your dedication to the cause. So Hospice SLO County is different from hospice that's provided via on a medical basis. Can you tell us a little bit about this and why Hospice SLO County is such a rare breed of cat?
Yeah, so we are what is referred to as a non-medical volunteer hospice. were actually the original model of hospice care. We're a social-emotional model of care for hospice. We're the original model that came over from Europe, from England, in the 70s. We are a grassroots organization that has been established and has been in San Luis Obispo since 1977. And it was actually in the mid-80s that hospice became medicalized. Medicare came in, and it became a medicalized service. And at that time, our board of directors decided that instead of going the medical route, we chose to remain a non-medical volunteer hospice. And many, many hospices at that point existed as a non-medical entity and organizations, and many of them remained non-medical at that time. And so our organization remained non-medical. We follow a different set of standards, a different set of rules, and because we're non-medical, we do not bill insurance, and we are actually not allowed to charge for services. And so because of that, we also don't follow, or we don't have to follow the same kind of set of standards and rules that the medical hospices follow, which means we can start seeing people at time of diagnosis. We don't have to wait for people to receive that sort of that terminal diagnosis of you've got 6 months left, 6 months or less to live. We don't require a doctor referral. People can call us, self-refer to receive our in-home respite support. Which means we can also stay with people for a lot longer. On our in-home services side of services, our average length of stay for our clients is about 18 months. Mm. And so a lot of, for the caregiver respite that we're providing for folks, the majority of our clients have some sort of cognitive impairment. So folks with Alzheimer's, dementia. So a big portion of what we're doing, the care that we're providing, is we're recruiting, training, and supporting volunteers to go into people's homes and provide respite for caregivers who are caring for someone with Alzheimer's, dementia, and then also additionally other situations such as congestive heart failure, cancer, Parkinson's, ALS, all sorts of other diagnoses as well. But usually, typically, there's some sort of cognitive impairment involved where those caregivers cannot get out of the house to go take care of themselves, run errands. And so our volunteers are going in and providing that support.
And I think what's critical for the audience to know is that respite care is care for the caregivers, really.
It really is. And so our clients are not just the person who has a life-limiting illness or even is at end of life, but is the caregiver themselves. And we have a care management program where that service is specifically for the caregiver to call in and get help specifically in accessing resources, referrals. We develop care plans to help the caregiver navigate what is going on right now with their loved one and then what might be coming down the pike, and developing, what resources exist, what resources might be available later on, and what might be helpful now and in the future.
So now all of your counselors are volunteers. You know, how do you find them? And what sort of attributes and training, education, what are you looking for in volunteers?
So our organization is, while we have many, many programs, it is two parts. We're a volunteer hospice, which we have our in-home services, but we're also a community grief center. And so we offer grief counseling where it's individual family counseling. We have support groups. And we have a community grief response team. And so we're actually looking for a multitude of volunteers. So on the in-home side, where we're looking for volunteers to go into people's homes, there we are just looking for people, no experience is required. We're looking for people with open hearts, willing to come and go through our training and learn. It requires being active listeners, being non-judgmental, and being open to really holding space and being present with people and really just being reliable and open to just being connecting and hold, yeah, just being there for people.
How many volunteers do you have during a year, let's say, a typical year?
Well, at any given time in our organization as a whole, like all pieces, we have about 120 volunteers.
Hmm.
And then on the grief counseling side, our services are provided by, we have volunteers who are licensed therapists or social workers who provide services, but we're also a clinical supervision program. So we have masters prepared and graduate students who come here to provide the therapy, and then we have our staff, our licensed therapists who provide supervision, and so our trainees and associates are providing the therapy, and they get their supervision here so that they're gaining hours towards licensure.
That's really good. Interestingly, you know, last week we had John Spooner, who's the training director of the North County CERT program, the Community Emergency Response Team. Do you guys work on that community grief response? Do you work with the local CERTs to help them, and if there is an emergency that needs that kind of response?
You know, we don't work directly with them, but what our Community Grief Response Team is when an organization, a business, a group of any kind, whether a book club, a Rotary Club, a business, a school, a church, any kind of group that has lost somebody or is going to lose somebody, we can go in with our trained responders or our therapists. We'll go in and help that group process that loss. So we'll go in and we'll talk about, you know, as a group, because everyone processes loss and everyone grieves differently. And so, but when we've lost someone as a group, you know, it can be obviously very difficult. And so having somebody come in who's neutral and help everyone just come together, talk about that person, talk about the loss, talk about how it's affecting the team or the group as a whole, how it might be affecting some people individually, and then educating people about, you know, the grief process, how it does affect everyone differently, how it can be changing the group dynamic, can be really just helpful and healing and healthy for that group. And then providing information that there is individual grief counseling available. So for those people that it might be affecting more than others, that they can come in individually and receive more help, letting them know that is available.
So I'm thinking that maybe you go into schools if a student passes away or a teacher or something like that.
Yes, we can.
What a valuable service. So you have a really terrific website, and you have so much great information here. Whoever does your website has it so well organized. I mean, it really is terrific. Let's talk about a couple of the services, more of the services that you're doing. The first one that I think is great, because we talk about it all the time with clients, really, is advanced healthcare directives, making sure all of that stuff is in place. So what do you do in that area?
So we can hold open office hours where people can come and make an appointment, and we can walk people through an advanced healthcare directive and explain what it is. And what an advanced healthcare directive is it is a legal document where you can identify what your wishes are regarding your health. If you are unable to advocate or for yourself regarding your health wishes, so if you are, say, in an accident and you're on a ventilator, or you're in a coma, or you're unconscious in some way, and you cannot speak for yourself regarding your health, then there's a document where you can state what your wishes are, and then you identify a person to be your health advocate, and that person can speak for you. Now, that person, you're not saying they get to make the decisions for you. They're just speaking. You've already identified what your wishes are, and you've given them the authority to speak on your behalf, but only what is written in that document. So a lot of times people, you know, say, oh, you know, I want my daughter to be my directive because I know she'll pull the plug on me or whatnot. Well, no. If that's your choice, if you've documented that that's your wish and you want your daughter to, you know, be the person that you know will follow your wishes, then that's a good person to choose. But you're not saying that that person gets to, make those decisions for you. They're just implementing your wishes. And a lot of people are afraid to fill out these forms or have these conversations because, you know, people don't want to talk about death and dying. But filling out these forms is actually a gift. It's a gift for your loved ones so that they aren't put in the position to have to make these decisions without knowing what your wishes are.
Yeah, these are very important, folks. And you know, many people take care of it when they're doing their wills and their trusts and all that. But others, you know, if you have fairly, you know, I guess you don't have a need to have an extensive estate plan, let's say, with an expensive and extensive estate plan with an attorney, but you still need to have those directives, those advanced directives in place, because otherwise, you know, nobody's going to know what to do for you when that time comes. So, you know, you also offer a whole lot of end-of-life resources. How do volunteers help people deal with the social and emotional aspects of death?
So we have highly trained volunteers who are very familiar with and very comfortable with the dying process. And so we have volunteers that can help people plan for and prepare for the dying process. And we're very comfortable talking about people's wishes, how, you know, having conversations about how people, you know, want to be treated at the end of life during their dying process. We can help people plan for their vigil, you know, for their active dying process. People don't often think about, you know, what questions to think about or what questions to ask. You know, where do you want to die? If you want to die at home, what room do you want to be in? What, you know, are there pictures you want around you? Are there certain smells, like some aromatherapy? Is there music you would want? Are there people you want to have there? Are there people you want to make sure that you're able to say goodbye to? Are there certain people you don't want there? You know, how medicated would you like to be? Like, do you think that you would want to be, like, really medicated and completely out of pain? Or are you willing to tolerate a little discomfort in order to be present, you know, in your dying experience? Or do you want to kind of be flexible in that depending on what's going on? There are different games, kind of card games. There's a card game called Go Wish that asks these kind of questions, and you can play them with somebody and document and find out what's really important to you. I played this game and I found out that the number one thing for me is to be kept clean. I want to make sure somebody is keeping me clean at the end of life, because that's just, I hate being dirty. So I just, that's important to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, spirit, you know, talking about spirituality, or if somebody's religious, what do they want? You know, are there certain poems or religious readings that they would want? And we can talk about that and document it. And so that, you know, all of that is, these are their wishes, and we can help make sure that that's happening for them at end of life. because a lot of times families aren't comfortable having those conversations. And a lot of people who are even in their dying or know that they're dying are not sure about, you know, how to have those conversations. But we can just ask those questions and document it. And then we have a bedside vigil program, so we can be there during the dying process just to be present. Our job is to normalize, educate, and empower families to be there to care for their loved ones. If nobody has been present, been witness to the dying process, it can be scary, it can be overwhelming, and it can be extremely exhausting. And so we can just be there to help families and loved ones just know, you know, teach them how to care for their loved ones, just and that what's happening is normal. And if things aren't seemingly going well or if there's concerns, we empower them to call the medical hospice. We work collaboratively with the medical hospices, and medical hospices are amazing, and they're extremely important. And we are always advocating that people who are in, who are terminally ill and are eligible for medical hospice, to get on a medical hospice sooner rather than later. There's so much misinformation about what hospice is, and it is such a supportive service, not just for the person who's dying, but for the entire family. And people are afraid if they go on hospice, they're going to die sooner. Hospice is about quality of life. It's about making, helping people be comfortable. It's about helping the family understand how to care for their loved one. It's about getting them the tools that they need to support the dying person and the family. Hospice doesn't come in and stay. They come in and provide all the supplies that are needed, and then they pop in and offer support and check in, but they don't come and stay. They're not there all the time. It's still up to the family to care for their loved one. And so we can come in and we can spend a little bit more time because our volunteers have more flexibility. But it's still so important for people to understand that, you know, just because you go on hospice doesn't mean you're going to die right away. Most people who go on hospice earlier, you know, or they get on too late, they regret it. They wish they had gone on sooner because they realize how much support it really provides.
Yep. In the last minute we have before the break, would you please talk about the Pet Peace of Mind program? I think this is so important.
Yeah, so Pet Peace of Mind is we train volunteers to support the animals of people who are dying or life-limiting so that the animal can stay with the human through the human's end of life. So let's say it's a dog. We go in and we will walk the dog, make sure the dog gets to the groomer or the vet, that it's got enough food, and the dog's just getting all the extra love and attention that it needs in addition to what the owners are providing. Because as, you know, as our humans are going through everything they're going through, they have less time and energy to give their animals all that the animal requires. And so we come in and just supplement that so that the animal can stay. And so this is an international program, actually, that was designed for hospices to ensure that the animal can stay with the human. Because what was happening is humans were giving away their animals sooner than they needed to. They were asking veterinarians to actually euthanize their animals because they just didn't know how to care for them anymore. And so it's just a really beautiful program to keep the animals with their humans because they are a very, very important, sometimes the most important part of the family.
Yep. Boy, you hit the bumper music perfectly, Shannon. When we get back, folks, we're going to ask Shannon to share a couple of case studies and also tell us about the fundraising events that Hospice Flow County puts on after about a 2-minute break. So I'm putting you on hold, Shannon. And folks, we will be back in about 2 minutes. So don't go away.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com. H.M. Holloway, family-owned and operated for over 85 years, the leading producer of gypsum and other soil amendments in Central California. The Holloway Red Ribbon Service puts farmers, family, soil, and community first. So put the Red Ribbon Service from H.M. Holloway to work for you. It's a trusted name with farmers for over 85 years. Visit their website, hmholloway.com, or call the Paso Robles office, 805-369-2000.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Shannon McAwitt, Executive Director of Hospice Flow County. Call in with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. Also, folks, I have a very high-level care planning questionnaire checklist that I'd be happy to share with you. So if you'd like me to send you a copy of this, you can send me an email to info@blazenbear.com. So, Shannon, let's talk a little bit about, do you have a case study or two that you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, actually, three quick stories that come to mind. Examples of kind of what's going on here. Our in-home training is available to anyone in this community, regardless of whether or not they become a volunteer, because it's just a great, great training, even just for self-exploration. And what's really exciting is we have a lot of Cal Poly students that are actually going through this training, and typically they all do end up taking on at least one client before they end up graduating and typically, you know, moving away. But we had one Cal Poly student, a young man, who ended up getting matched with a former Cal Poly professor, and he was, still at the beginning of their time together, the client was still ambulatory, so he was able to still walk around, and he was, at the beginning of his cognitive impairment, and he had a couple other ailments. But anyway, so the Cal Poly student would go pick him up and drive him to Cal Poly, and they would go play pool at Cal Poly. And the client would share stories of, his time at Cal Poly, and they would interact with other students, while playing pool, and just would have a really fun, engaging time. And they were able to do that for, I think, a couple months before he really slowed down and was no longer able to leave the house. But it was just a really beautiful way to start their time together and build that kind of trust and rapport, and it was just a great way for him to get back on campus and reengage with, the youth of our community.
It's a nice story.
Yeah.
Have another one?
Yep, and then for pet peace of mind, we had a woman who had two cats, which were just, everything to her, and cats, mostly it was about just making sure that they were getting groomed and the cat litter was getting changed out. And with two cats, it had to get changed out regularly. And a lot of that was she really didn't want an in-home volunteer, but she was willing to accept help for her animals. So it was a way for us to, you know, go in and connect with, you know, connect with the human and get eyes on her and provide some company for her through providing care for her animals, which, you know, were her babies. And then the lady ended up going to the hospital, and she was in the hospital for a little while. And so we continued to go in every day and feed her cats and change the litter. And we were able to provide her updates about her cats while she was in the hospital. And then, unfortunately, the lady did end up passing away, and we were actually able to rehome her cats and get them adopted because we had worked with her to get the paperwork in order, and we worked with her son to get the cats, you know, to really loving homes after she passed away. And that was kind of a part of that program as well.
Let's make sure that we tell everybody about your fundraisers before we run out of time, and we can come back to another case study. So you just finished up your Walk for Healing fundraiser.
So Walk for Healing is a 6-week virtual walk. So people sync their, you know, like their Fitbits, or they can manually enter their miles. And we started this during the pandemic, and we've just been carrying it around. And it's a really great way for people in our community to connect with their people all over the country or the world. They start, you know, they form teams and fundraise as a team and work collectively to log miles together. And it's just a really fun way to get together, to get out there and be healthy and raise money for hospice. And then every year we do Light Up a Life, and that is at the end of the year near the holidays. Where people donate money to have their loved one's name read at a ceremony, and we do ceremonies throughout the county where we have just, it's a nice memorial event where we light up candles or a tree, and we have different poetry and songs, and we just read the names aloud of loved ones that we've lost. Not just throughout the year, but at any time. And it's a really beautiful ceremony where we just really honor our people.
You know, it reminded me, I'm Jewish, and in Yom Kippur, they talk about being inscribed in the Book of Life every year. And that's what it reminded me of when I saw that online. It was really very beautiful. So what's the process for someone to become a volunteer, and how can people learn more about Hospice Slo County?
Yep. So if you go to our website, which is hospiceslo.org, hospiceslo.org, and you can explore our website and then go to the volunteer tab, and there's a place you can learn about our next training, which is coming up in September. But there is also a button that you can click to sign up for more information, and you can submit your name and then let us know what you're interested in, and we'll follow up with you via email to give you more information about which programs you're interested in. We basically have trainings for all the different programs, and we'll let you know when those trainings are happening.
Yes, and I just want to mention to the audience, you know, I guess it's probably a function of my age, but I'm having more and more folks, you know, declining and needing the services of Hospice Slo County and other you know, long-term care providers. And you really can't start planning for this stuff too early. And the worst thing to do is to wait too long. Don't you think, Shannon?
Yeah. And we're free of charge. You can just call us to ask questions at 805-544-2266.
All right, Shannon, thank you so much. We'll have you on again. And folks, we'll be back at the other side of the hour with Mike Brown of CoLab. And we're going to talk about the county budget. Thank you so much. And we'll be back in about 8 minutes. Thanks, Shannon.
Thank you.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.